It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America. Happy Thursday to you. Coming to you live from Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. And thank you to you for being here, because if you're not listening in Seattle or Vancouver, Los Angeles, Boise, Baltimore, Buffalo, Atlanta, Florida, Texas, wherever the hell you at, Toronto, Montreal, if you're not listening, there's no show. I appreciate you. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. I get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. You got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, we've had one hell of a show. It's been a busy day. Damn it, we just had a trade, and the Major League Baseball trade deadline is not until next week. The Mariners are just like, we want more help. They just acquired Josh Naylor from the Arizona Diamondbacks. There you have it. We found out the Diamondbacks are going to start selling everybody. Well, let's see who else they start to sell. Anyway, we had a guy who we almost got sold up the creek today. Thank God he didn't. Justin Fields. This man has a dislocated toe. He's day-to-day for the New York Jets. Scared the hell out of everybody. Christian Wilkins. Well, he has been sold up the creek. He's gone. Las Vegas Raiders said, man, I don't care if we signed you last year. Your foot is broken. You're not rehabbing. You don't want to have another surgery. They cut him. He wants his money. He's filed a grievance with the NFL Players Association. We heard from Bill Belichick at ACC Media Days. We heard from Michael Penix Jr. thinks the Falcons are going to have one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in the entire NFL. James Cook wants a new contract, wants to get paid with the Buffalo Bills. We just had a great chat. Thank you to Eric Edholm from NFL Media for joining us. Thank you to Zach Rosenblatt coming through, talking some New York Jets football with Mr. Dislocated Toe Justin Fields earlier today. And we have more to do. Damn. Of course, I'm going to tell you about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Hulk Hogan passed away today at 71 years old. Damn, interesting is the word. He was a good guy and a bad guy in wrestling and in real life. Damn. What a guy. We'll get into what you're going to do, brother. We'll get into that guy in a little while. And then right before we went to break, we talked about this this debate between Cam Newton and Ryan Clark about Jalen Hurts and how good he is, how good he isn't. Cam Newton is like, oh, Jalen Hurts is not top 10. Look at all the talent he has around him. Ryan Clark is just like, well, look at the talent you had around you. You couldn't even jump on a ball in the Super Bowl. So Jalen Hurts can't catch a break. Can't. Doesn't matter what he does. Being a winner doesn't count to anybody anymore. Let's put it this way. Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. He is. Was Cam Newton a more talented player? I would say so. I think we've seen a large enough body of work from Cam Newton to say so. But then Cam Newton didn't have what Jalen Hurts has, and that's composure. That's poise. Jalen Hurts has the attitude of a winner, and Cam Newton, when he played, had the attitude of me. So if you had a choice, I think I would want to go with the winner. I think I want to go with Jalen Hurts. And there you have it. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I'm going to pick up these phone lines. I'm going to get to this call, and then we're going to go around the world to all the, I can't say amazing things. It's just been a busy day. Hulk Hogan passing is not amazing. We're going to go through all of the things that took place today. 888-710-4ISN. Ross, he's calling from St. Pete down in Florida, not too far from where the Hulkster passed today. Ross, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Hey, JR, thanks for taking my call. I'll keep it brief. Got three things. Going into the break, got in my car, heard you say something about Baker being insufferable. I got to defend my boy. He's the heart and soul of the Bucks. Most touchdowns in the past 2 years. Got that dog in him.
Okay.
Played Ross on a show me deal.
I mean, you can't argue with it. There's nothing. Did you call just to argue with me?
No.
What I said was, and you, this is what I said versus what you repeated. I said, via the conversation that we had with Eric Edholm, who gave props to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, says he could see them winning multiple games in the playoffs. My retort to him was, hey, Eric, could you imagine Baker Mayfield, if he were to have the ultimate success and win a Super Bowl, he would be insufferable.
Okay, I see you there.
That is what I said, Ross. Okay.
Thank you, JR. What else you got? I was going to pivot that. I was going to have a little pun talking about, you know, if the secondary didn't have more holes than Cam Newton's playoff resume. I don't know why Jalen Hurts has to listen to somebody who barely was and isn't anymore. He's a has-been. And a guy who dresses like he's going to player haters ball. He just looks like a zesty buck nasty or beautiful. I mean, that's all it needs to be said about Cam Newton. The guy, well, you know,
to the credit, and this is why I appreciate Jalen Hurts. And I, you know, Cam Newton is his own person. He is eccentric. He has his own style. This is why Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts. He's not responding. He won't. There's not going to be a snide comment. There's not going to be a social media remark. Jalen Hurts was asked about his Super Bowl ring and wearing it. He's like, well, that's from last year. That's old news. It's time to move on. Like, and to a certain degree, there's people who look at it and just go, oh, man, act like a human being. But he acts like a winner. And as long as he keeps the same attitude and you can get the same results of at least competing for Super Bowls, who cares? I think it's a great thing he doesn't respond.
He lets his play talk for him. I agree 110%. He's focused on winning.
We got a lot of players that can take heat on that one. Hey, Ross, thank you for calling from St. Pete.
Oh, quick, can I just say, you know?
Yeah, what else you got?
I'm from St. Pete. I've been to Hogan's shop when he was alive. He was a nice guy in real life. I know, you know, he's got an interesting past you touched on, but a lot of people think that doesn't make the news, too. About 2 years ago or a year ago, he pulled
a girl out of a
car wearing an NWO shirt. I'll just say, if I got into a multi-vehicle car wreck, and I rolled over and woke up, and Hulk Hogan standing there in an NWO shirt. I'm not sure if I'm in heaven or hell or what's going on. All in there. Thanks for taking my call, JR. Have a good night.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Ross, for calling from St. Pete. No, that's what makes everything about Hulk Hogan. He was a human being. That's it. Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea was an entertainer. He was a pop culture icon. And he was the biggest star to help catapult professional wrestling into being sports entertainment. God only knows, you know, where Vince McMahon and wrestling or sports entertainment would be without Hulk Hogan. Would they have had another star to come on later down the line? Possibly, but we don't know. Now, the fact and the reality is that Hulk Hogan, from, you know, being in Rocky to being on TV and to movies, connection in movies, pop culture, video games, lunchboxes. He was the 360 deal. He was what a pop icon wanted to be. I need a movie. I need a show. I need a song. I need a guitar. I need catchphrases. I need clothing. I need a rock. They had everything from action figures to Bendems to wrestling buddies, CD. Like, Hulk Hogan lived the life. Pop culture, he touched on everything. But as technology evolved and the internet moved along, and you got to hear about Hulk Hogan's sex tapes, Hulk Hogan basically, Hulk Hogan said, I'm a little racist. That came out of the guy's mouth. I mean, we could talk about all the good and bad. I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan did some amazing things besides save somebody from a car. All right. But I also know about some of the nasty, disgusting things that he did. And that's just reality. I'm not beating up on a guy who just passed away. I'm telling you the truth. All of this is all true. You know, there's no human being who's just walking around and everything is perfect. But some people are worse than others. And some people change and some people don't. I don't know Hulk Hogan. I ain't never met him. I have no idea. I can't share a personal interaction. I can only tell you by what I've heard and what I've seen. And unfortunately for him, for what he helped create and the legacy that he built for himself, he also created and tarnished it. He did it. Nobody else did it. He did it. And so, you know, when he's at Monday Night Raw, on his last ever scheduled WWE appearance, when WWE has to act like he doesn't exist because of his racist comments multiple times that were being recorded, he ain't got nobody to blame but himself. You know, he passed away today, which sucks. Nobody wants anybody to pass away. It's inevitable for us all. But more recently, he was at the Republican National Convention. He was selling his beer. He was starting this new league, Matt Wrestling League with Eric Bischoff. He was opening up a restaurant across from Madison Square Garden. But the last thing he will be remembered for in a WWE ring, or not even making a ring, on a WWE show, on their Netflix debut, Hulk Hogan walked out and he got booed. It seems to me that people remember all the blemishes that he helped create on his own legacy. Listen, Hulk Hogan got booed the last time he was on TV. Listen to this.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. You know something, Maniacs? I've been in this business for over 40 years, and the greatest part of my life was being part of this great WWE, guys. You know, I've had all kind of tag team partners over the years, but you, the fans, have been my greatest tag team partner because you guys have stuck with me through thick and thin, dudes.
You, the fans, have been my greatest partner. Boo! Damn, that's rough, man. That's rough. Man, you can't take away what the guy's done, but he turned his career into a 50-50. Especially for the guy who was marketed and sold as the good guy. Yeah, he publicly turned out in some cases to be the bad guy. How he changed his life at the end, I have no idea. I hope he changed it for the better. I know he got baptized. I hope that changed him. Hulk Hogan, gone at 71 years old. Wow, this is wild. Botcher, can you... That hurt that guy's feelings. He came out and got booed? Come on.
100%. But I feel that for him to get through that entire thing without reacting to the crowd, that shows a little bit of guts, right?
No. He did react. He paused throughout. He paused throughout that. He was trying to, you know, see if he could change the tide. He couldn't. At one point in time when he paused, he kind of put his hands on his hips like, are y'all really booing me right now? He was able to get through the whole promo of whatever he was saying and selling his beer. But he stood there. They didn't allow him. He didn't get through it, is my point, Bachi. He didn't.
Tried to, at least. I feel like if he would have stopped and like fully said something, they would have did the what chance at him, too. So he would have been 10 times worse if he didn't try to speed it up.
He's a professional, was a professional. He wanted to go out there and sell his beer. And so, you know, not to say this. When you talk, I do. I'm not Hulk Hogan, but when you talk for a living and talk in public, you learn how to control a room. You know, here I am on the radio. I've spoken in front of crowds and in schools, on television, I've spoken on the street. When you talk for a living, you learn how to control a crowd. And sometimes you don't have control. You can only do what you can do. And it's pretty ironic. I did, maybe about a year ago, I spoke to Seth Rollins. And so I interviewed Seth Rollins, and I introduced him, and I knew I was going to get a reaction. That's why I said it. I said, I'm here with a guy who beats people up for a living on TV. He says, I said, I just talk. And he goes, hey, man, JR, I talk too. And I go, yeah, you do talk. Like, it's the good wrestlers know how to talk. And there's nobody who knew how to talk. I mean, we got plenty of guys. The Rock transitioned into doing movies because of how well he spoke and his ability to communicate. Same thing, Stone Cold Steve Austin. We got John Cena here still wrestling, now doing movies. So speaking is, if you're a great wrestler and making real money, you got to learn how to use your words, unless you're just some big giant beating people up. But Hulk Hogan's a pro, and the pro, what you gonna do this and what you gonna do that and take your vitamins, brother, this and that. He started sweating with that spray tan and ripping his shirt off, and he did stuff like this. Listen to him talking about beating up on the Ultimate Warrior.
When I faced the Warrior, I saw no fear. I realized he's ready for battle. And as far as I'm concerned, WrestleMania could have went down tonight, man. They could have had 100 Buster Douglases in there, and Hulkamania would have still run wild. Ultimate Warrior, the ultimate challenge has been issued. And what are you going to do when Hulkamania destroys you?
All right, Hulk Hogan standing by Mean Gene with the Ultimate Warrior. Take it, Gene.
Man, I guess 71 for a wrestler is a long time. Ric Flair, I think, is older than him. Ric Flair is still here. He really died and came back to life. He just came back from cancer, too. Ric Flair, God bless him, he is invincible. Oh, man, he almost died in a plane crash. Macho Man, not here. Ultimate Warrior is not here. Man, Andre the Giant, been gone. Man, all these guys are gone. Damn. That wrestling life is a tough one. Hulk Hogan had them come to his house, apparent cardiac arrest. All the best to his family. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. There's so much that went on today. We'll talk about Justin Fields, some of the other things. And then I got an update on the Little Leaguer who was suspended for flipping that bat. We got an update. Is he going to be able to play? Is he not going to play? I'll tell you. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
When you're known for speed and reliability inside, you need to deliver speed and reliability outside. In all kinds of weather, all year round. Introducing Eero Outdoor 7. Eero, the way Wi-Fi should be.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, a lot going on in football today. Christian Wilkins getting released, waived by the Las Vegas Raiders. They just signed him to a four-year, $110 million contract last year. He broke his foot. And today they're releasing him on grounds of, man, you didn't rehab hard enough. We told you to get another surgery. You didn't do it. And so they just said, bye. We ain't giving you no guarantee. And now he's filing a grievance with the NFL Players Association to get his cash back. I don't know if he's going to get the whole thing, but he got $35 million guaranteed that the Raiders said, we ain't paying you. We'll see how this one bears out, and let's see where he ends up. Well, I guess he can't end up anywhere if he can't play. I don't know. Maybe he needs to lose some weight. Anyway, somebody else, foot issue. New York Jets and their fans, they were shook to high hell earlier today when they found out that Justin Fields had to exit the field in day one of practice because of a lower leg injury. Everybody started to kind of go, uh-oh, what the hell is going on here? I want you to take a listen right now to what Aaron Glenn, what he had to say about the injury at practice.
Justin went down with toe end on the right side of his foot. Listen, I don't know the severity of the injury, but I do know it's a toe on his right side. And listen, we have an outstanding backup in Tyrod who's been in this league for around 14 years. So the leadership that he brings, listen, we're all good.
Who says right side when talking about feet? Left foot, right foot, on my left side, on my right side. No, it's a foot, his right foot. And we do have an update. Good for him and good for the New York Jets. It's only a dislocation. Good for him. That's all he did. All he did is dislocate his toe. Things could be worse for the New York Jets. Typically, they are. You know what? Speaking of the New York Jets, there's a team that will probably beat the living hell out of them throughout the course of the season. That's the Buffalo Bills. At their training camp, they didn't have any issues about dislocated toes on right feet. But they did have an issue with James Cook a little bit. James Cook has been looking for a new deal. He's getting paid a little bit more than $5 million. Meanwhile, some of the best running backs in the game, these guys are getting $15 million a year. Jonathan Taylor's getting $14 million a year. Saquon is sitting at the top. He's getting $20 million. We know James ain't getting that, but he wants his money. He spoke to the media today, and he says, you know what? I'm here at camp. I'm participating. But I want my cash. I want my bread.
It's my job. You know, I got to participate so I won't get fined. And just come out there, come out here and just show them that I'm ready to go and earn what I got to go get.
Man, but are you going to get that money, though? Are you going to get that cash? What you deserve? I don't know. Buffalo Bills, I'd be surprised if they went out there and said, oh, yeah, man, don't worry about it. We're just going to pay you, you know, 15. For what? I think I'm not going to say he's replaceable. He had, what, 18 touchdowns combined last year? I don't know. Josh Allen is the team. They can probably get another running back for a little bit cheaper. A whole hell of a lot cheaper. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. At least he showed up to work. You had to hear about it all week. Trey Hendrickson not at work. Terry McLaurin not at work. There's a bunch of guys just not at work. Michael Parsons is at work, though. He want to get paid, too. 888-710-4ISN. Mike is calling from Canton, I assume Ohio. You on the JR Sport Brief Show. Mike, what's up?
I'm wondering if the Pirates should shut down Paul Skeens for the rest of the year. The team is going nowhere. Why you jeopardize him for a losing season? I also heard the Pirates have a good flamethrower down in AAA. Maybe bring him up to see what he can do. In best case scenario, get them both started for the beginning of next year.
So you want the baseball player to not play baseball? Is that right?
Well, I'm throwing this idea out in hopes it sparks some intelligent conversation.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think maybe by the time we get to the end of the season, they'll continue to start tempering his innings. Because as we know, it's just a tough, tough world in baseball right now. You get a guy out there, young guy. It seems that Tommy John surgery is almost a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And a guy like Skeens, yeah, you don't want to see that. But I think they'll probably start tempering or tampering down his innings later on in the season. But to shut him down completely, I don't think so. I'm looking at his numbers right now. Last year when he came up, he had 23 starts. He pitched 133 innings last year. This season, in a full season, he's pitched in 21 games, 21 starts. He already is at 127 innings pitched. So he's pretty much pitched almost the same amount of innings that he had last year. And naturally, what you want to do is go ahead and increase that just a little bit. I don't think they're going to let it get out of hand, but I wouldn't shut him down. How's that going to build up his arm?
Maybe they could have him hit and play outfield, and he could be the next Ohtani-type player.
All right, Mike.
In
a video game, possibly. Can you play the outfield? Can you do it?
I'm not a pro.
Okay, I can tell. Hey, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Oh, I'm a jerk. Bacha, I shouldn't have said that at the end. Who cares?
Either way, Paul Skeens did hit when he was at the Air Force. So all I'm saying, he batted like 300.
You want to put him in the outfield?
Are you going to say he had? Okay, not to trash the Pirates, but they have Tommy Pham.
Do you want to put him in the outfield?
Do both. Why not?
Oh boy!
That would sell some tickets if they're looking for some fans to come.
It's the Pirates, man. Come on.
Exactly. They've only sold out, three games this year, and two of them were bobbleheads, and one of them was opening day.
The fans still go more than you would think. That place is, for what the Pirates are, they still draw.
People show up. I went probably 2 months ago or 3 months ago. It was crickets. It was not.
Oh, at PNC?
I went to PNC for the first time.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I loved the stadium, loved the air around.
Yes, yes.
It's just the fans. There was probably like a couple 100 season ticket holders, maybe 1,000, and everybody else was just random people sitting there. And you could hear a pin drop behind home plate, and it traveled.
Well, they've been traumatized. It's been a while. And speaking of baseball, we had this whole story last night. The young man who flipped his bat, and then he may not play in New Jersey in a championship game. He may not play in the Little League World Series because he flipped his bat. The umpire decided to flip his 12-year-old behind onto the bench. They suspended him. So much so that his dad went to the judge and tried to get an injunction and be heard right away to overturn the suspension. A 12-year-old getting suspended over a bat flip. Take a listen to this report from News 12 up in New York, New Jersey.
New information in the bat flip heard around New Jersey. Here's Haddonfield's Marco Rocco's game-winning home run from last week that sparked debate. That home run from the 12-year-old put Haddonfield in the state tournament, but Rocco was ejected and set to be suspended from playing in tonight's game because he flipped his bat into the air. The umpire saying it was a, quote, safety concern. Haddonfield took the issue to court. Tonight, a judge ruled Rocco can play.
Man, he's back. Marco Belletti, he's back. The kid is back.
That took a long time.
24 hours, right?
Good to see that our judge and our judicial system has nothing better to do than to worry about whether a 12-year-old can flip a bat.
Yo, Botcher. Did I not say that an hour ago, Botcher?
Did I not say that? And I said maybe it was different because it was like a restraining order type case and it wasn't really serious.
No. You get a restraining order. Let's see if you get in front of a judge in 20 minutes.
Marco, if I got shot tonight, and the guy who shot me was standing right in front of me and told the police, I did it, take me away. The guy wouldn't see a judge for like 5 months, okay? 5 months. This 12-year-old gets suspended for flipping a bat in the air. His dad shows up and he's just like, oh, this is so important. Do it now. I don't care what else you got to do. My son has to play in the Little League World Series. And the judge is just like, oh, yes, absolutely terrible. He must play.
Priorities.
What a world. All about priorities. The judge, and by the way, the judge basically said, hey, you know what? There's so many double standards in the celebrations and whatnot. The kid doesn't deserve this harsh of a thing. And so the kid is back. But I mean, damn.
Look, I wanted the kid to play too. This was dumb right from the start. And really, I mean, that umpire, again, they're 12. Stop it. But at the same time, the idea that you can get in front of a judge in half a day to have an injunction for a 12-year-old to play a Little League game. Yeah. I mean, come on now. What are we doing?
Did they win? Crazy. That's the real question. If they did all of this just to lose and not make it, that would be disappointing.
Well, when is the game? Is it tonight?
It was today. I think it was at 6:30 or 7. I can't find anything if they won or not.
Do Little Leaguers play for 3 hours or 2.5 hours? No, right?
What is it, 7 innings?
Yeah. It's definitely 7. Yeah, no, it shouldn't take that long. I didn't realize what time the game was. That's a bad job by me. Maybe I should have looked for Haddonfield, New Jersey, to see if there was this the championship to decide if they're going to Pennsylvania.
I think so.
This was the last one.
All right. Here's what the judge said. Oh, what do you have here? The judge saying that the harm to little Marco, not you, Belletti, for not getting into the game, which is a step towards his last shot as a 12-year-old at getting into the Little League World Series, was greater than the potential harm to Little League of not finding new umps. Oh, okay. All right. Little League said Thursday it will uphold the judge's decision but called the case a disappointing distraction. Oh, you want to fight with the judge. While we continue to follow any orders governed by the court of law, Little League is extremely disappointed that the time, energy, and attention were diverted away from our volunteers and communities who are creating positive experiences for all players and fans. And the Little League is paying for them to write this crap, too. It's all just a big old waste of time.
And you know what? The umpire did this to teach this kid a lesson that he needs to be more humble. And in reality, what he taught him was, if you cry and bitch and moan, you get your way.
Yeah.
So it's really just a tremendous lesson for all of our children and the youth and basically America. That's where we are. You want somebody to stand up, to be a dumbass, to try to teach you, someone else's kid, to be more humble in your celebration. And in reality, all you taught them was the way of life, which is cry and bitch and moan, and you will get your way.
Well, listen, that kid's going to grow up. He's going to call lawyers on everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yes, call lawyers.
That's good. We taught him a hell of a lesson.
He's 12, yeah. So by the time he's in high school, he's going to be calling lawyers on some kid. I don't know.
Let me see if you can get in front of the judge again in 12 hours with your next injunction, your 12-year-old.
Yeah. I don't know. The game's at 8:30, by the way.
Oh, they're still playing.
They're about halfway.
Yeah, good for them.
And it's 1-4, so this is the semis.
Well, God forbid. No. If the kid advances, if him and his team advance, we will hear about this on ESPN, on every Little League World Series game for like 2 weeks. So,
is the ump going to fight it? Like, this is a temporary injunction. Is he going to go to court and then see if we can, you know, reverse the reversal?
He should sue for pain and suffering, okay? This has caused an emotional toll on him.
You know what? He probably will. Do we know his name? I didn't check it, but I'm sure it's out there. He's now getting a bad rap. He's the curmudgeon. We're painting a bad picture.
He got fired, emotional distress. He has back pain. All of the things. All of it.
Can you get fired from being a 12-year-old umpire? Is that possible? Is that allowed?
Can you fire him for tossing a 12-year-old?
I don't know. I mean,
you could. Why not? You can get fired for anything, right?
I guess. They are technically paying him. Not well, but they are technically paying him. So I guess they could fire him.
Yeah, don't do that. Bad idea. They're too busy fighting a judge. So, what are we going to do? What a world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. To talk about everything going on in the world of sports now, it's time for a news flash, a little bit of an update with Marco Belletti.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ready to take the next step in your career? The Bryan School of Business and Economics at UNC Greensboro offers a range of affordable, fully online undergraduate programs designed to prepare you for in-demand business roles. With flexible courses, dedicated faculty, and a strong return on investment, it's a smart choice for your future. Develop the skills employers want and gain the confidence to stand out in today's competitive job market. Apply now to start in the fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. What a day. What a day. What a day. Everything from Hulk Hogan to Justin Fields, Christian Wilkins, and James Cook. Got Josh Naylor traded to the Mariners. What a day. What a day. What a day. But now, it's the end of the show. That means it's time to take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
In the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is July 24th, 2025. It's been that way all day long, but it's time to go back in time to a few things that happened on some other years. July 24th, 1979. We got to go to Boston because Carl Yastrzemski, he says, you know what I got for you? My 400th. Home run. Take a listen to this as the Sox beat the A's 7-3.
We're following him in his quest for home run number 400. Long drive, right field, way back, near the wall, and there it is! Home run number 400, Carl Yastrzemski! Now, listen and watch! They're all going mad here as number 400 has been hit by Carl Yastrzemski, and watch him. Everywhere at Fenway Park. They're going to call for him again. They want a curtain call for Carl Yastrzemski.
Yeah, he wasn't done. I mean, he played until 1983, and he ended up jacking 452 of those long balls. Excuse me. July 24th, 1983. George Brett lost his mind with the Pintar incident. It's like, man, that Pintar was too high. Initially, the Royals lost. The game was overturned. But all anything anybody remembers is George Brett losing his mind, courtesy of the YES Network.
It's funny, you get 3,000 hits, you make over 7,000 outs, and this is what people remember. It could be worse. It could have been an air goal ball going through my legs or dropping a pop-up, but it was something good. Showed the type of fire I played with, the intensity I played with, and kind of shows what baseball was all about to me, and that was winning.
Yeah, and it shows persistence. I mean, they argued the call. The two-run home run was taken away. They suspended the game. They came back and played it. After the fact, and the Royals ended up winning. Never be too legit to quit. Shout outs to MC Hammer. July 24th, 2005. Uh-oh. This is a drug user. Yeah, take a guess which drug user it is at home. Take a guess. Lance Armstrong. He won his seventh consecutive Tour de France. How did he do it? We know how he did it. Drugs. And he threatened the whole team to do drugs too. Drugs for everybody. Listen to Lance Armstrong talk about people not believing in cycling. This is from the Associated Press.
And finally, the last thing I'll say for the people that don't believe in cycling, the cynics and the skeptics, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry you can't dream big, and I'm sorry you don't believe in miracles. But this is one hell of a race. This is a great sporting event, and you should stand around and believe. You should believe in these athletes, and you should believe in these people. And I'm a fan of the Tour de France for as long as I live, and there are no secrets. This is a hard sporting event, and hard work wins it. So, vive la Tour forever. Thank you.
Yeah, a little bit easier when you're doping, you're druggy. What a guy. July 24, 2008. Well, this is a real feat, no drugs. Nancy Lieberman. She came back for a one-game appearance with the Detroit shot. She was 50 years old. She signed a seven-day contract to play. And she went out there and she had two assists and two turnovers. The team lost. The Comets beat Detroit 79-61. But at least she could say she was old and played. Listen to Nancy Lieberman on making a comeback.
About a year ago at the All-Star Game, I had to run through the skills challenge, and I did it, and I guess my time was pretty competitive. I think two or three of the players had better times than myself. And I was leaving the court, and Bill was sitting at the end, and he goes, "Very impressive." So we were bantering, and he goes, "Well, you know, next year, maybe we'll sign you to a 7-day.
We talked last year, we talked this year about it. There was a window of opportunity here for tonight to have her on the roster, because we're going to sign another player tomorrow. And she deserves it. She has been a great player throughout her career. She's a great pioneer in level women's basketball. And I hope she does very well.
Listen, if an old lady came out of retirement today to play in the WNBA, the young ladies will foul the hell out of her for stealing their attention. Congratulations to Nancy Lieberman. I think she's coaching in the Big Three now. July 24th, 2014. Oh, this is not good. Not good at all. Ray Rice from New Rochelle, New York. Former Raven. Yeah, he got a 2-game suspension for domestic violence. And then that video came out, and then he was suspended indefinitely. And God bless him for turning his life around. And he handled that in the most positive way possible. Didn't run from it, didn't hide from it, continued to be a great citizen to the community. But yeah, even Roger Goodell got in trouble. You only gave him 2 games? Listen to this report from the postgame.
You know, that's not me. My actions were inexcusable. And, you know, that's something I have to live for the rest of my life.
The Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice addressed the media on Thursday, a week after his 2-game suspension over allegations of assaulting the woman who is now his wife, triggered an intense national debate. Opening his appearance at the Ravens' Maryland training base, Rice delivered a 6-minute statement in which he apologized repeatedly to his wife and said, "My daughter's 2 years old now, and I have a little girl who's very smart, very intelligent, and one day she's going to know the power of Google. We have to explain that to her, what happened that night." Rice did not, however, tell the press exactly what happened in an Atlantic City hotel in February. Rice was captured on video dragging Janae Rice, who was apparently unconscious, out of an elevator. He did not contest the charge of aggravated assault.
Damn. Yeah, that's... Woo! Yeah, that career ended swiftly. Yeah, yo, what you do, the decisions that you make, the mistakes that you make, they follow you. Yeah, folks, there you have it. A few things that took place this day in sports history. July 24th. Man, that's a wild. He's right. What you do in your life follows you. It doesn't just affect you. It affects the people around you. Sometimes you got to be. Got to be smart. Sometimes you got to be cool. You got to make smart decisions before you get into making some bad ones. Oof, man, what a day. Hulk Hogan passed away. You talk about making decisions. He made some decisions that kind of tarnished his image. And what a world. Hey, thank you to our positive things, like the people who joined us today. Zach Rosenblatt to talk about the New York Jets. Justin Fields, his foot is good. Just a dislocated toe. He'll be all right for now. Eric at home, NFL.com for coming through. It's been a busy day. If you missed a minute or a second of the show, as we talked about Fields and Christian Wilkins and Belichick and the Jets and Cam Newton and Jalen Hurts and Hulk Hogan, you missed a minute, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Me, I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday. Tomorrow, I will be minding my business, okay? You can find me online if you want to bother me at JR Sport Brief. And that's it. Botcher, do I need to say anything else? Or am I, you going to turn my microphone off now?
No, you're good. Bart Winkler's next, maybe.
Yeah, Bart Winkler's next. And there it is. Now he's going to turn my mic off. Hey, Botcher, thank you as well, always, for a great show.
Thank you, too.
No doubt about it. Listen, people, be well, be smooth, be safe, be all of the amazing things. The JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network is done. Don't leave. Bart Winkler is coming up next. Me, I'll be back on Monday. Take it easy, folks. Thank you, Bacha.
Looking to earn a business degree that fits your busy life? UNC Greensboro's Bryan School of Business and Economics offers flexible, fully online programs with courses as short as 7 weeks. Get the same high-quality education as you would on campus with the convenience and affordability of online learning. Explore a variety of in-demand programs. Don't wait. Apply now to start this fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu to apply today.